Good morning and welcome to the Print AM, our daily morning podcast of the big news story. This is Apoorva Mandhani, assistant editor at the Print, and in today's podcast, I shall tell you more about the Supreme Court's judgment passed on Monday, which said that an elected lawmaker can be criminally prosecuted for corruption if they accept bribe to act in a particular manner inside the parliament or a state assembly. Now, this is an article written by my colleague Bhadra Sinha, and I'm going to read it out to you. This judgment was passed by a bench led by Chief Justice of India D.Y. Chandrachud, and it essentially overruled a 1998 verdict called the P.V. Narasimha Rao case that had granted immunity to parliamentarians as well as legislators from prosecution for alleged corruption. The Supreme Court had at the time in its 1998 verdict said that lawmakers enjoyed protection under Article 105 of the Constitution when it came to matters involving their speeches or votes in Parliament. This ruling was by a bench of 5 judges. The 7-judge bench on Monday said that a member of Parliament or MLA cannot claim immunity from prosecution on charges of bribery. Tracing the history of constitutional privilege granted to lawmakers, the bench held that it cannot be meant for those who accepted bribes for a vote or a speech inside the Parliament. The 7-judge bench essentially unanimously opined that the principle laid out in the 1998 verdict failed to fulfill the twofold test of first being tethered to the collective functioning of the House and second being necessary for the discharge of the essential duties of a legislator. Now let me tell you about what led to the 1998 judgment. Essentially, 2 years after a Congress-led coalition formed its government at the centre, the Communist Party of India Marxist leader Ajay Mukhopadhyay brought a vote of no confidence in the monsoon session of Parliament in 1993. Congress leader P.V. Narasimha Rao was then Prime Minister. While the motion was defeated by a margin of 14 votes, 3 years later, the Central Bureau of Investigation received a complaint alleging that some MPs belonging to the JMM and Ajit Singh's faction of the Janata Dal were bribed to vote in favour of Rao. Meanwhile, the MPs allegedly involved in the case demanded immunity from criminal prosecution, citing Article 105. They said their act of voting occurred inside the parliament and as per Article 105, no member of parliament is liable to any proceedings in any court in respect of anything said or any vote given by him in parliament or any committee thereof. The 1998 ruling favoured the allegedly bribed MPs. The top court held the MPs who accepted the bribe and voted on the no confidence motion would be immune from criminal prosecution as the alleged kickbacks were in respect of a parliamentary vote. However, the court ruled that Ajit Singh, who was allegedly party to the conspiracy but didn't cast a vote, wasn't entitled to similar protection. Now, here's what led to the now judgment passed on Monday. In 2012, Sita Soren, a leader of the JMM, was accused of accepting a bribe to vote for industrialist R.K. Agarwal, who was an independent candidate in a Rajya Sabha election. Soren is the daughter-in-law of JMM chief and former Jharkhand Chief Minister Shibu Soren, who was one of those accused in the 1993 Cash for Votes case. Although Sita Soren did not vote for Agarwal, a criminal prosecution was launched against her by the CBI for corruption. Her plea for immunity was rejected by the trial court as well as the Jharkhand High Court. In its decision given in February 2014, the High Court ruled that the principle under which Ajit Singh was denied parliamentary immunity would be applicable to Soren as well. The 1998 judgment did not give protection of immunity to Ajit Singh and therefore Sita Soren was not entitled to the protection as she did not vote for Agarwal. This is what the court held. The High Court also said that the immunity granted to legislators under Article 194 did not apply to MLAs who accepted a bribe to vote a certain way but then flipped and cast their ballot in another way. The judgment was challenged before the Supreme Court in March 2014 and was placed before a 3-judge bench. On 7th March 2019, the case was sent to a 5-judge and then to a 7-judge bench. So this is how the Supreme Court looked into the issue again and the judgment was passed by a 7-judge bench on Monday. That's all I have for you right now. This is Apoorva Mandhani, assistant editor at The Print, bringing you this podcast, The Print AM. Do log on every morning at 8 a.m. to listen to the best news analysis from The Print. We will be back tomorrow with a new episode.